Hey everyone, this is Norm Farrar, aka The Beard Guy here, and welcome to another Lunch with Norm, The Rise of the Micro Brands. Lunch with Norm. Lunch with Norm. Now, just let me plug in my headset here so I can hear it. Okay, there we go. Okay, so for today's episode, we're going to be talking to a very good friend of mine. He was the director of innovation over at ViralLaunch. He is now the CEO at ConvoMat, and this guy knows his stuff. So he's a good friend. He's been out to lots of our live events, and he's dropped just a ton of knowledge. I've learned so much from him. His name is Leo Scovio. So we'll be getting to Leo in a second. But before we do that, where are you, Kels?
Hey, hello,
hey,
hello.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. How is everyone in the Beard Nation doing? Let us know how your weekend was. And yeah, if you're new to the show, make sure you smash those like buttons, subscribe to your channel. We're almost at 800 subscribers on YouTube, which is awesome. It'd be amazing if we could get just over that hump and then aim for 1,000. But yeah, welcome everyone. We got one day left in our AirPod Pro contest. I'll put the comments or the link in the comment section. And yeah, it's going to be a good show. Very excited for this. And yeah.
Very good. Now, one of the things I just want to remind everybody that if we will be doing a giveaway today, and it'll be hashtag Wheel of Kelsey. We'll get Leo to talk about it. But let's see, before we get started, just remember to throw those questions in. And if you have any comments into the comment section, now, I guess, there's only one thing to do, Kels. Do you know what that is?
What is that?
Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee. I have it here. And enjoy the podcast.
Hey, Norm.
How are you, sir?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Enjoying lockdown. I guess you're enjoying lockdown as well, huh?
I have no choice.
Yeah, that's right. Here in Toronto.
yeah, we're enjoying that. So I just noticed that you have a nice mug. Can I have one of those?
Absolutely. Do you want one of these mugs?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay, no problem. You got one.
That's good. Thank you.
Hey, Leo, for those of us who don't know you, can you just give us a little bit of background information about who you are and what you're doing?
Yeah. Hey, everyone. Yeah, my name is Leo, for those of you that don't know me. And I've been in the, like Norm, I'm from Toronto as well. Born in Italy, moved here about 12 years ago. I've been in the Amazon space since 2015. Prior to that, I've just been doing e-commerce pretty much since I got my first real job in 2000, I believe it was 2007. Did SEO for Google, PPC. Most of my, I guess, advertising spent back then was spent on Google Ads. And slowly gone into web analytics and then, Amazon. And recently in 2019, I started developing my own software, which is called ConvoMat. And here I am today, kind of focusing most of my time on obviously Amazon and chatbots to automate pretty much everything that we do when it comes to marketing for our Amazon brands.
Well, very good. So one of the things I want to tell everybody is I've known you for a while, and although you are a master, I mean, you're very analytical, you're very technical, but at the same time, you know, you can just talk very easy, and you can just tell people a very difficult situation or a very difficult technique very simply. How's that? I just wanted to, you know, I'm giving you a compliment, Leo.
A very difficult technique, very simply. That's
yeah. Wow. So you can explain, like, I've been with you, and you know me, I'm an old guy, so I have to take little bits and pieces of things, and you can explain it to me, and I go, oh yeah, I get it. So if you can do that for me, I got to tell you, that's great, because you know I'm not into the big tech side of things, and you are, and you're much younger than me, and you can explain it in bite-sized pieces. So that's what I like. I also like that. I mean, some of these techniques that I've heard from you in the past, like we've talked about all sorts of different strategies, and I've told you a few of mine. And then, I mean, you blow me away with these things that you dig up from, like, there's nobody talking about some of the stuff that you talk about and some of the things that you discover. And that's what blows me away about, you. So I just wanted to put it out there.
No, I really appreciate it. Look, I am a very curious person. I've always been a curious person. You know, when I was a kid, I remember, you know, buying radios or toys and opening them all up, you know, screwdrivers, opening up. I wanted to understand how was the toy made, what was inside the toy, rather than how the toy worked, right? And that's, you know, that's a skill that I brought, or interest that I brought with me throughout my life, right? And even today, when it comes to working on Amazon or understanding platforms, I really want to understand how a search engine works, how an algorithm works, so that I can eventually, understand. If I understand how it works, I can understand how to achieve the result that I want to achieve, right? Especially when it comes to SEO, like search engines are just like you said earlier, explain a simple concept, like a difficult concept in simple words, right? Search engines are just trained to understand what a topic, what a piece of content is about, right? They're just machines trained algorithmically to pretty much at scale understand something, right? So if you can reverse engineer that, because they're built by humans, they're like, you know, people like us behind those algorithms, right? If you try to understand what the concept is behind it, you can easily reverse engineer and say, okay, well, that's really what I need my content to be about, whether that is a listing on Amazon or a website. Search engines read like us, left to right, right? So that's why we say the most important keywords need to be at the beginning. That's because that's how the bots read. And so when you start understanding these concepts and slowly you start piling up all that knowledge, eventually you understand, you have a really good picture of this e-commerce, algorithms that power e-commerce, the search engines, and then you have fun talking about these topics, right? Then you feel confident about those. You start, you know, people start getting impressed about this kind of stuff that you talk about. And I encourage everyone to, you know, that does this kind of business, runs this kind of business, to have some sort of dedicate some time. You don't have to know everything, right? But if you know how something works, I think you'd be much better at your job.
Yeah, I agree. You don't have to know everything. You just have to know a little bit about it, and then you hire an expert. That's what I look at it.
Yeah. Okay. But the thing is that, Norm, a lot of people hire experts. They throw money at problems, and they never move the needle. And the reason is that they are not experts, right? You can hire, coming from a corporate world, right? You hire a lot of employees, but eventually, if the employees don't learn from you, they're going to get discouraged, they're going to leave, and you're going to be left after 1 year paying salaries with, again, you know, with a small team or by yourself running something, right? Or trying to figure something out. But the most important thing is that when you know what that employee is supposed to do, and that by that I mean, you know your business, you know your numbers, you know how things work, it's much more enjoyable then, right? You tell an employee, hey, this is like, they get excited about what you want to achieve, they get excited about the topic or the final goal, and everything starts, you know, like that wheel starts moving. So that's always my advice when it comes to people that want to start selling on Amazon or any e-commerce business, like learn really that business first. And then you build a team, and now that team is strong because you are the leader of that team.
Right. Yeah, that's great advice. One of the things I wanted to talk about, well, first, let's talk about the giveaway. And, you know, for the people that are listening, after you hear what Leo's going to talk about today, you're going to die for this giveaway. So, Leo, let's talk about it. What are you going to give away today?
Yeah, what I suggested earlier to Kelsey is to pretty much give an hour of my time, you know, one-on-one Skype or Zoom to, you know, teach someone that is passionate about this topic, how we're using currently giveaways chatbot to launch products successfully. And I obviously, as you know, I've been building ConvoMat for 2 years now to automate and scale that process fairly easily, right? So I took that complex strategy and put it into really like 6 simple steps. So I like to spend maybe 1 hour with the lucky winner explaining how we do it, right? So that they can be successful as well.
Very good. So if you do want to take part in the giveaway, just put hashtag Wheel of Kelsey or tag 2 people as well, and you'll get an extra entry. Okay, Elio, let's get into this. I think where we want to start, since we're already talking about chatbots, is how can Amazon users work with chatbots? And let's go back one step. Some people might not know what a chatbot is. Let's explain that, and then let's explain some strategy.
Yeah, well, a chatbot is just a way to automate a chat through a platform, an application. In this case, we've been using ManyChat a lot. So any type of conversation that normally you used to have manually with someone, whether that was on Facebook, WhatsApp, SMS, Messenger, with a chatbot, you can pretty much automate that. So you train a chat or a bot, to perform certain actions, predefined actions, so that your users, your customers can simply interact with it just by pressing yes, no, I like it, I love it, I hate it. And then, you know, eventually the answers will be dynamically changing based on the user answers or replies. So that's, in simple words, what a chatbot is. And then you can make it as sophisticated and complex as you wish by automating certain things. But in a nutshell, that's pretty much what a chatbot is. And the way Amazon sellers have been using chatbots, you know, in the past few years, is mainly for giveaways. And why giveaways? Because giveaways is really the main strategy that we can utilize when we launch a new product to promote that product and to drive sales, so that Amazon, you know, can actually start learning that important metrics about your product, which then help with the ranking. And so when you have a product that you want to give away, for instance, you're looking to give away 20, 30, 40 units a day, and now you need to run ads. At some point, you run into a roadblock, right? You run into this wall, because doing that manually, it's not feasible. And so at some point, you need to use chatbots or automated solutions that allow you to scale faster and to manage that campaign, the marketing campaign, automatically. And so the way we've been using these chatbots mainly is by creating these promotional conversations that with certain inputs pretty much promote our product on Facebook Messenger so far, and while making it easier for our customers to quickly understand what the promotion is about, how to redeem the product, how to buy it. And one of the things that makes chatbots so unique is that speed of interaction and conversation. That's, today we're lazy. We like to get the reply, whether it's a friend or a customer support or a brand, instantly. That's why we like WhatsApp, we like SMS, because we text, we see already when your friend is replying back, typing, that we get excited. Okay, he's getting back to us, right? That's why chatbots have become so popular, because of the speed, ease of interaction, and obviously the conversion rate that comes with it, which is by far in the marketing industry the best and the highest conversion rate or open rate compared to even email. Or
what is the open rate right now?
Well, we're still seeing about 80-90% sometimes. It really depends on how intrusive or spam your message looks like, and mm-hmm. how much the person receiving the message knows about you or your brand, or where the message is coming from, right? But yeah, the open rates are they're very high. And you know on average, an email, you can get a, you know, you have to play a lot with the subject line and assuming that the email doesn't go into spam or all that, but you don't get nowhere close 80%.
So just simply, like a simple few action steps, what does a typical flow look like? So at the beginning, where does somebody enter it? What do they have to do? And what do they get? And where are these action? What are the action steps?
A typical flow, assuming that you're launching a product, starts with an ad, right? You're promoting your product on Facebook. Normally, it's on Facebook because the chatbots are connected to Facebook Messenger. So the easiest way to send traffic to that flow is by creating a Facebook ad, and then you're promoting their product there. The user clicks on the ad or send a message, and then now they're into the flow, right? So there are certain steps into the flow. But we can summarize this in three main steps. One is like you pretty much explain to the user how, like what the promotion is about, and then you get the user to say, okay, cool, I'm in. The second step is when the user now buys a product and, you know, you need to verify. And technically you're pretty much done. Like all you're trying to do is asking to your customer, hey, we're promoting this product. Here are the instructions. Go on Amazon and buy it, right? And a lot of sellers today, obviously, they are refunding the user post purchase because you're pretty much giving this product away for free. So either you're prepaying for the product by sending them a gift card, but normally, like we give them offer them a rebate after the purchase. So. That's really what a typical flow looks like. Now, the messages, I like to keep the flows fairly simple using, you know, that KISS method, right? Keep it simple, stupid. I think that works always. I see a lot of brands, they try to put GIFs, cats, cartoons in their flows, which make it pretty cool, you know, like, but no. The problem is that today people get, a lot of people get annoyed with all these things. Like you can find someone that likes it or it's like, oh, wow, this is so cool. This bot is cool, right? But you might also run into someone that actually hates all these animations. Mm-hmm. And so if you go with a simple plane, then, you know, your interaction and friction might be much, much smaller, right? Much lower. So I always try to keep my flows simple. People don't like to waste time. People don't like to read, right? If you look at the, on average, when someone goes and reads an article, right? What they do, they like skim through the article. They just want to know, okay, what this article is about. Nobody's going to read 5,000 words, right? And the same thing is a message. Okay, just tell me what I need to do, right? Do I need to buy the product? How do I get refunded? And that's it, right? So that would be my input and advice on that.
So you're trying to get... You're targeting people, and this is what I like about these flows. So you're targeting people, customers, that already like pet products or they have special interests. So they've got an interest for the product. It's not like going out there and just, you know, going to a discount group and saying, here you go, you know, here's my product. And you got the same people buying the same things. These are different people that are buying your product because they like bully sticks for small dogs. Now you're giving them in the flow the opportunity to go into Amazon, find your product or your competitor's product, or go over, add it to your cart, buy it, and then you send them a gift card or whatever you want, right? And typically, it is 100% off. Is that what you're finding?
Yeah, typically it's that, right? Because your customers, they're supporting you, but they do want 100% off, right? Yeah. So, but to answer your question, Norm, I see two different use cases. You have the guy, the company that does a lot of giveaways, they may be managing other companies, and they typically promote their products on Amazon or their clubs on Amazon as a generic rebate club, right? So, hey, come in and you can find thousands of products. And in that case, it's okay to target broad audiences, right? So people that just like to shop, like rebates, all that, right? But when you start using that same targeting on an individual product launch, right, then your results will be completely different. And I hate doing that. I hate targeting the masses, right? I like to target only people that have at least interest in that category. So if it's a toy, like a baby toy, I like to target people that maybe have interest in infants or, you know, even pregnancy, because they previously might have liked something about pregnancy, right? That kind of stuff. You know that you're talking to the right people, right? People that have some sort of affinity with a product. But if you're going and targeting everyone that likes to shop or get rebates, get free stuff, you might get people into your flow and they might even buy, but they're not there to buy your product to support you as a brand. They're there to get the free stuff. They get to get an extra, maybe you're giving a rebate on top of the refund, right? So they get to get the cash. They're not there to because they like the product. And then what happens normally, they don't even try the product. They take it, they either send it back, or they sell it on eBay to even make more money, right? And now you're running into a lot of issues. So my recommendation when you're running your ways for your own brand is to target people that have affinity with that niche or category. And you might pay a little bit more per cost per click because you're targeting a specific audience. But when you look 3 months from now at the results that you got from your campaign, that CPA on the review, for instance, let's say you're getting reviews as well from these people, is going to be a lot lower. Why? Because when you're targeting a broad audience, these people, they do that every day, right? They do that. That's their full-time job.
Yep.
And the problem with these people is that their profiles on Amazon are very weak. They're poor. They're bad profiles. Amazon is tracking these people. They don't like people that leave reviews constantly, right? So what happens is, out of 10 reviews that you probably got today, when you target a broad audience, you probably 3 months from now, you will have 3-4 left, right? Because Amazon is going to delete the others. But if you target the right people, most likely you're going to have all of them left, or maybe 8 or 9. Make sense? Mm-hmm. And so when you look back, you say, okay, well, how much a review cost me? With the first approach, maybe you paid $50 for a review. With the second approach, it looks more expensive up front, but down the road, you probably only paid $10, $15.
Right. No, and you know, we talk about that on the podcast quite a bit. Sometimes you pay more and it looks like the upfront costs are much more, but you get better quality either reviews or just services in general. One of the things that bothers me about chatbots, just my own experience, again, I'm just going, and I think I'm actually, you know, I'm an older guy, but I think I'm pretty tech savvy. I think I am. But one thing that drives me crazy with chatbots, when I go to either an e-com site or I'm on somebody's Facebook page, I can't, if I don't know an answer and the chatbot isn't done properly, it puts you into this loop and you can't communicate. You're screaming at it like, no, I want to do, it's like those voicemail, you know, no, yeah. I don't want that, you know, but how do you get around that? How do you get with, if I want to talk to somebody, if the answers aren't in that flow, I want to escape. And I want to talk to a human, or I want to talk to somebody online or get an answer. Is there an easy way to do that? Because I find a lot of people aren't doing it.
Yeah, so it really depends on the platform that you're using and if how you're building that condition. But normally, the way I do it, when a customer is looking for a specific answer that the bot doesn't know or it breaks, what I do, I interrupt the automation, right? So I stop the automation and then notify an admin, hey, this customer here, this subscriber is stuck. Please get back to them manually, right? So eventually a customer service person takes over the conversation and says, hey, you know, how can I help you? Because if you let the bot, you know, figure it out, that's never going to happen, right? So there are some you know, NLPs, like natural language processing today, tech available, right, that try to understand what the customer is asking and try to give it a relevant reply. But it's never going to be like a human being saying, hey, you know, it looks like you're having an issue with an order, right, placing an order or whatever. We try to fix a lot of... So a smart chatbot, it should be...
Say hi. Say hi.
What was that? Oh my God, you're squishing.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you? Good to see you.
Yep. Last time we saw each other was in Hawaii.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. I should go back soon.
I'm sure I did not fall out of the boat.
Okay, so I just, you know, Connie's been asking me, when's Leo going to be coming on? So I thought I would just, you know, bring her in, get another cup of coffee, by the way. Sorry for the interruption, Leo. I just had to do
it. No worries. Yeah. So what I was saying, Norm, is that a good bot should be doing one thing and good, right? You can't have a flow or a bot doing pretty much everything, trying to understand everything the customer's trying to do. So if, for example, for a typical Amazon giveaway use case, there are only a few things that can go wrong. And that's why I decided to build some sort of tech or automation that fixes these problems, right? We used to have a lot of issues in the past where you ask a customer, hey, can you give me your order ID? Right? And customer used to type, yes, one moment, or yes, my order ID is blah, 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 the pound sign, you know, they copy the hashtag or the pound sign and they copy the order ID. And a lot of bots used to break because they don't understand. They expect to see only numbers, right? And now the customer is entering the whole essay there, right? So they're like, oh, I'm stuck, right? So these are things that we fixed with, for example, with Convomat, we're able to extract from a whole text or phrase just the numbers and then process that. Or what happens normally in another use case or reason for a bot to break is when they send a screenshot, like they're on their mobile phones purchasing, and we say, hey, can you please, you know, give us our order, your order ID once you complete the purchase, and then they take a screenshot of their phone, they send it to you, and the bot breaks because they say, oh, I'm expecting to see a text here and not an image. We fix that too, right? So when some things like this occur over and over and over again, that's when you want to fix it and when you find a solution for it so that you solve 80-90% of the problems that most of the people are, you know, incurring in your chatbots. And for everything else, whenever an error or a bug occurs once in a while, it's just better to have customer service take over manually.
How quick can that happen? So, you know, from the time that trigger happens to get a manual customer service person on, can you do it fairly instantly?
Well, it depends on how your team is trained and how big your customer service team is. We always try to cover the 24 hours, so with different shifts, right? So that you have always someone ready to take over a conversation, because that customer right there needs someone to reply almost instantly, right?
Right.
The problem with the Facebook Messenger right now or ManyChat is that when you send a notification, right? They no longer send you a message on Messenger. They actually send you an email. So it's important that your customer service team is always checking emails to see, hey, is anyone stuck in the bot, right? So I think having, like, you're the master of SOPs, right? Having a good standard operating procedure in place to say, hey, you know, please make sure that you check these messages constantly and the Amazon Seller Central, the mini chat, your emails, to make sure that from a customer service perspective, we're always replying as fast as possible. I think that's key there.
Great. Now, just before we get into some of the questions, I just wanted to remind everybody, if you want to get an hour-long consult with Leo, just hashtag Wheel of Kelsey. If you want to get two entries, just tag two people. Okay, Kelsey, are there questions?
Yes, we have, I believe, about three or four questions that came in. But yeah, if you do have any questions, please feel free to put them in the comment section as well. So our first question is from Rihan. What might be the potential risks of adopting chatbots while launching a new product for the first time on Amazon?
Yeah, that's a really good question there. So I would say that the potential risk is associated to the way your conversation flows in your bot, right? Or the way you build your bot. Promoting your product is not against the OS. You can promote product, that's fine. The moment your flow or your giveaway or launch strategy becomes against the TOS, it's when you start asking for a review in exchange for a compensation, right? So that's when now you're violating the TOS. And for that reason, we encourage anyone that adopts chatbots for launches not to ask for a review. For instance, with ConvoMat, we have a new system. It's a new API that we have that allows you to ask for review using the Amazon review request functionality. So, you know, when you go on your Seller Central account, you see the review request button, we can automate that request, right? So that when you're within your customer is within your flow and completed the purchase, you can say, hey, by the way, we really appreciate your feedback. You should have received an email from Amazon. And it means a lot to us if you could just share your review on Amazon. That's it, right? You're not violating the TOS there, and you're utilizing the Amazon tools to accomplish the same, goal, right? So that's what I would be careful with.
Yeah, and what you're saying too with those reviews, you can go and do that automation that you're talking about. And what I found is that when you give out these products, and if you've got a great product, you're going to get a review. You don't have to ask. People are going to give it at a rate. I don't know about you, Leo, but I'm finding that natural reviews are coming in at a rate of 4 to 7%.
Yeah, that's about right. And if you're really pushing, you can get even higher than that. But yeah. I find it to be the same.
Okay, next question.
Okay, from Fatiha. How is using ManyChat in different forms or different from using other SFB services?
Yeah, so I'm not sure what type of search on and buy services you're referring to, but ManyChat or a chatbot service allows you to build your own customer base, right? Build your own system, build your own giveaway funnel, right? So the good thing is that once you build that funnel, it's yours. The subscribers coming in are yours. And when you want to launch a new product, you can leverage those people that you've already acquired in the past. So if you paid for a customer to purchase a product, let's say on average $5, and you launch another product in 3 months from now, now the cost becomes $250 because you're reusing that person again. When you're using a search funnel by service or launch service from other companies, you have to pay that again, right? They charge normally $3, $5, whatever per purchase. And that money, it's gone. You're not building an audience. You're not building a list. You're basically helping other people do that, right? So when you launch a new product, you have to pay again the $3 to $5. So that's, to me, was the main differences. Is like what do you retain from that specific channel, right? And in the ManyChat instance or scenario is that these people now are part of your audience.
All right, Kills.
Okay, the next one is from Simon. What would you say that, would you say that Amazon is perfectly happy with giveaway strategies? Is it 100% within TOS?
Would you say that Amazon perfectly with giveaway strategies? It's hard to answer this question. I don't think Amazon is perfectly happy with it. But the truth is that they have to allow us to promote our product somehow, right? It's already a very tight platform. We don't have any customer information. We can't do anything around it. The only thing we can do is really pay per traffic, like advertise on Amazon. So I never seen it in the terms and conditions on Amazon, them saying you cannot do giveaways. You cannot promote your product outside of the platform. Actually, Amazon likes it when we run Google ads or Instagram ads. They do like it. Now, I'm not sure if they're really happy with regards to the actual rebates. They're probably not. But as like I think they need to let us Amazon sellers do something, do some marketing. Otherwise, our products will never take off on Amazon, especially when you have now Amazon selling their own brands, which are really hard to compete with from a pricing and number of reviews standpoint, right?
Yeah, I don't think any form of marketing on Amazon is 100% white hat. I mean, if we did that, it would only be PPC and we wouldn't get ahead at all anywhere. Nobody would have an advantage. So, you have to have a bit of risk management. Mm-hmm. And if it's not for you, then fine. The other thing you could do too is run ads that aren't 100%. You could do a 30% off or buy one, get one free and drive it back to Amazon. And, you know, you could try that as well. But if you're trying to get sales momentum to get on the first page for PageRank, this system does work. And I haven't seen anybody suspended or suppressed because of it. Have you?
I don't know. I never heard anyone being suspended. For inserts, that yes, but not for doing giveaways.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Kelsey, next question.
Okay. Before we get to that, I just want to do a quick shout out to one of our audience members, Manny. He just launched his first product on the weekend.
Fantastic.
This weekend. So congratulations. And good luck in the future. And so this is some advice from Joshua about the chatbot issues with the wrong messages. So he says, simplifying your message, such as please type in your order ID below like this. And have your conditions after this user input check for the word order number. If it has that, return to the original message. If it's a number in dashes, just for dashes, then process via IPI. So it's.
I was reading this message in the chat here. Yes, this is a workaround, but it's not perfect, right? Because then. You have a lot of people keep typing in not only the hashtag, sorry, the pound sign. They will type in a bunch of different texts. Like, what if someone is typing in, yes, my order ID is and the order without the hashtag, right? The pound sign. You still have to send the user back. So if you have an API that makes it so easy for you to keep going with the conversation, look, for me, the most important thing, goal in a chatbot is to limit the friction in your flows. If you limit the friction, you're gonna have a lot more people buying and being happy with your the way you handle your that journey, right? So if you keep sending people back to the loop, and you don't have customer service eventually handling that, someone is gonna cancel the order and say, okay, screw this. This is too difficult. This bot is stupid, right? But if you can handle that, because there is technology that allows you to handle that, why not, right? Like you're now the next step. The user purchased the product, you're now the next step. So that's my recommendation. But yeah, that workaround does work.
Okay, Kels?
We have two more questions for now. From Marina, can customers return products to Amazon for refunds after getting a rebate?
A lot of them try, for sure. And so what we do, Marina, when the user returns the product to Amazon, what we do, if the rebate was already issued, then we keep checking, right, for the order status. If the changes from returned or canceled, refunded, we then message the customer saying, hey, by the way, just wanted to let you know that you returned the product. This is, you know, against our group terms of services, and we're going to open. You can, if it was for PayPal, like you can ask for money back, or if you lost the money, say, you know, you're going to be suspended. And I tell you one thing: with ComboMat, we have right now, we built a list of 1.3 million people blacklisted, and people like this, they go on the blacklist. It's a black book. Once you're on the blacklist, you know, it's actually very bad for them, because now any other group or Facebook groups, right, rebate clubs, they're going to try to participate. They're going to be banned, right? They're going to get a message that says, hey, you're not allowed to participate because their email is blacklisted. So Now they have to create a new email, a new Facebook account. It becomes a little bit of work on their end, right? And so I think eventually it's going to fix this issue over time. The more people start banning or adding these emails and then subscribers to their blacklist. So, but these bad actors are out there, and that's what I said earlier, right? If you target people that don't care about your product, that's what happens. They are just there for the cash.
Right. Okay. Last question.
Last question. And before we get to that, anyone in the audience, let us know what your experience was with chatbots. Have you used them before? Will you use them again? Why not? We'd love to know. From Andrew, with Viral Launch, I was able to have people take friends like our IG and Facebook, et cetera, to get extra entries. Can you do this?
Yeah, you can do this. We can do this. You can do this in two different ways. One is by building that condition inside your flows. And we're actually doing this right now. It's actually very smart, right? Because then now you can take that 10 people that you bought from Facebook and turn them into 20, 30, 40, 50. Definitely you can do this. You can allow your customers to share that promotion with other people. And take, actually somebody else earlier, I saw the comments, mentioned AppViral. AppViral is a really cool tool that I used to use maybe a couple of years ago. And that tool is actually, it allows you to do this very well. It's not a seamless integration, but it does work. So I would encourage you to, if you're doing this kind of like, hey, tag your friend or refer your friend, look into AppViral.
Very good. I know we're, we've got a hard stop in 15 minutes. So I do want to talk to you about some things that are happening on Amazon, the big mistakes, and the big, maybe there's a couple of new things that are out there in Amazon that we should be looking at. Can we start with what are people doing right? And are there any nuggets that you can drop on us?
Any nugget, are you referring to?
I'm talking about anything that we should be doing right now, anything new, and any mistakes that are happening that you see.
Yeah, so the mistakes, I think, norm when it comes to Amazon is, and it will always be about ranking your reviews, mm-hmm. right? If you don't rank well and you don't get reviews fast enough, your launch is going to fail, your business not going to take off, right? So I think most important thing, we already discussed about this a few times, and I can't stress enough, is spend more time tweaking and building that, whether that is your own or you're cloning some templates, but go over it, make sure it's tight. You don't want anyone to buy your product. You want to build a proper audience. You want to filter out people that don't deserve to buy your product, that don't deserve to get your product for free. There's a lot of scammers out there. So focus on that. Even if it's going to delay your launch by 2-3 days, it's worth it, because once you have that tight onboarding step, right, where you ask, for instance, you can ask a few questions, right? How long have you been using Amazon for? Like that kind of stuff, right? Because you want to know who this person is. And once you pre-qualify that these people and you trust that they are good buyers, you're going to get good results, not only for the first launch, but for the future launches. And having that list is going to save you a lot of time and money. Every time I'm launching a product now, I just send an SMS. I need 10 products today. I send 10 SMS, say, hey, here's a new offer. Are you interested? Yes, click here, send them to MiniChat or whatever chatbot platform. And if they don't reply, send a text to another 10 people, but it's instant and you have more control over your, destiny, right? The launch success, right? If you don't have that, it's going to be harder. So building that audience, I think, is going to is very important. It's going to be even more important going further. And it's not difficult to do, right? You can get 1,000 people, honestly, on your Facebook or mini chat audience list in probably within a week, like less than a week, right? And then once you train these people, then they're yours. They can do whatever you want. So I think focusing on that is going to be always more important. And yeah, the mistake that I'm seeing is pretty much, I remember doing a presentation about this, is allowing your competitors in, allowing your these bad actors in, right? Because if you are launching a product, you worked so hard, right, to launch a product, and now your competitors are just seeing exactly what you're doing, that's not good either. So,
but how do you stop that?
How do you stop that? I've been building this list, right, that pretty much I've been collecting over years of all these Amazon sellers that I know are there spying around, right? It's never going to be a bulletproof system, but I think you should know who your competitors are, right? And then try to research them up, see where they hang out, who, you know, what their names are on Facebook, so you can eventually prevent these people from seeing what product you're launching. So that's probably the best way today to find out and ban these people. And the other thing, another advice I would give, focus on when you launch new products, focus on value. You know, make sure that your customers are getting a good value. Amazon is not your own Shopify store where people are coming to buy your product because they like your brand. On Amazon, has become a value platform, especially lately when all these Chinese have started to sell on Amazon. You know, like prices are very low. But when you go in and you offer good value to your customers, you don't even need a lot of reviews. Customers are not stupid. They see through your images, through your listing, that this product is much better value than your competitors, right? I remember, Norm, if you look at in the supplement space, right? I used to work with these guys, very smart guys, and their main strategy was they focused on a two-pack, right? And nobody else was selling in that space a two-pack. So the value was there, right? You could buy a two-pack a little bit more expensive, but you get two of them rather than one. And they kept leading their market space using that strategy, right? So that would be my tip for new product launches.
Okay, very good. We got a couple more questions and then we'll go to the wheel.
All right, from Tony, are there any Shopify apps for chatbots boxes you can recommend?
Shopify app for chatbot. So, Tony, you can, I'm not sure what your end goal is, and we can chat privately about this, because I think you can leverage today's chatbot platforms. We're also launching a chatbot platform, by the way, next week, which integrates with 13 different channels, including Messenger, WhatsApp, and it will eventually connect natively to Shopify. But if you are looking for a platform that can do the same thing that we do with Amazon, so, you know, verify an order, you can do that even today with existing platforms. It's just a matter of connecting to the right API endpoint, if that makes sense. So if you'd like to talk more about this technicality, I'm message me on Facebook. I'd be happy to talk to you about that.
Okay, Diane from Faith. Do you ask the subscribers for their phone numbers and to reply yes to the first SMS message?
Yeah, that's a good question, Faye. And I do ask for the phone number. It took me a while to figure out the best way to ask for a phone number, the right time, the right place. Because if you ask too early, they will leave. They will not buy your product. If you ask too late, they're going to say, no, I'm not going to give you the phone number. You know, they're already done with the purchase. You have to ask at the right time when the phone number makes sense to get. And the wording they use are very important, right? Like you can't ask for the phone number for any reason. But if you ask properly to your customer, and the reason behind that having that phone number is valid, like makes sense, and they can trust you. You can get phone numbers. Like I'm launching right now a product, and I'm asking for a phone number, and I would say 8 out of 10 subscribers are giving me the phone number. So it's working really well. And I think also is because people are realizing that a lot of chat bot systems or anyway chat bot platform that use Messenger to communicate are having issues, right? Some people don't, they're not able to communicate back with the platform. For example, if Facebook suspends the page. And so a lot of them are starting to understand, okay, the only way that they can get back to me is through a phone number, right? Through a text. And so it could be that that's the reason why a lot more people are giving it to you, but make sure that you ask at the right time.
Very good.
Okay. And Make Him Laugh Till It Hurts says, what other advertising should I combine with chatbots?
What other advertising should you combine with chatbots? It really depends on when you're running other advertising. So if you're doing a giveaway, then your to Messenger, you can pretty much only drive your Facebook ads, right? We are now starting to use Google, but because we have a web bot, so we're actually driving traffic to a standalone web bot. So there we can use Facebook, we can use Google, we can use Pinterest, we can use any traffic source, right? The user go to the web bot and you have control over that, right? Once you are into the launch, right? So your product is already ranking well and you're getting reviews, then you want to start with your PPC campaigns. You can drive external traffic from Google, for instance. You can start buying some Pinterest. It depends on your niche. Pinterest is very much, you know, women oriented, right? So if you have a product that appeals to women, then you might want to do Pinterest as well, Instagram. Like, so you can drive a lot of different advertising using different channels. But for a launch, I think Facebook probably still the most effective way today if you're using chatbots.
Very good. All right, Kels, anything else?
All right. We have some comments, but I think we're running out of time a little bit. Okay. So I think it's time for the Wheel of Kelsey.
Okay. Well, just before you get to the Wheel of Kelsey, Leo, how can people get a hold of you or sign up for your ConvoMat?
Well, ConvoMat, they can go on the, yeah, that's right. This here's the link, ConvoMat.com. Right now we are in, it's an invite-only platform. So if they go, there's a wait list and I get the messages so I can, they can then message me on Facebook and let me know that they want to sign up. I'll reach out to them personally. And we run also a lot of rooms on Clubhouse. So in Clubhouse, the same Leo's going there, we chat openly about chatbots or Amazon in general. But the platform that I use the most is Facebook and Instagram.
Very good. All right, now, Kels, go for it.
Oh, Wheel of Kelsey.
It's time for the Wheel of Kelsey.
All right. It's everyone's favorite time of the podcast, the Wheel of Kelsey. I'll go ahead and shuffle our entries for the 1 hour consult with Leo. And here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Got it.
All right. Darwin, congratulations.
All right, Darwin. Congrats. So awesome. How does Darwin collect his prize?
Okay, so Darwin can receive his prize by messaging me or emailing me at k@lunchwithnorm.com, and I will connect Darwin with Leo, and we'll figure Perfect. That out.
Leo, thank Perfect. You, sir, for coming on. I know you got a hard stop at 1 o'clock, so I really appreciate you coming on and talking about chatbots.
Thank you, guys. Thanks, Norm, and thanks, Kelsey. I appreciate it. If you guys want to reach out to me, feel free. I'm always, I'm an open book, so happy to help anyone. And it's a pleasure being here, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, it was a blast. Thanks, Leo. We'll see you later. God.
All right.
Okay, guys. So I do have one thing. Josh Marsden was on last week. He's also been on a few other times. He's got an event, a free event that's actually happening right now. It's for 3 days. I'm going to be part of it on Tuesday at 2 o'clock, but there is a link. And if you want, you can take part in this. It is absolutely 100% free. I think it's made up of 28 e-com speakers. I think I'm the only Amazon speaker, but it's all about e-com. So it's free. These are really fantastic. The group that he's put together is fantastic. And Kelsey, if you just want to put that link into the comments section, that would be awesome. And if you've seen Josh on the show, I mean, this guy, again, he's like Leo. He knows his stuff. He's created 9-figure companies. And anyways, he blows me away every time I talk to him. But other than that, Kels, what do we got to do?
Okay, so I'm going to go find that link and put it in the comment section. But yeah, hey, if you haven't yet,
Job. Check your Skype. Oh, God. All right, so okay. How about I take it from here, okay?
Here, I got it. No, okay. I got this. All right, so if you haven't yet, please like and subscribe to our podcast. If you're watching right now and you haven't hit that little thumbs up button, you can do that now. And we have 1 day left with our podcast or our AirPod Pro contest giveaway. I put the link in the comment section. So you click on that or just go over to Norm's Instagram. It's in the bio section there. And this is the link that I put in there. It's Ecom Scaling Secrets Summit. That's the name of the event. But yeah, I think that's about it.
Okay, now we got a special show coming up from one of our listeners. So on Wednesday, what's going on?
All right, so Wednesday we have, you may recognize the name, he's been on the podcast before, on our fan appreciation episode, Simon Booth, also known as Cy B on YouTube. I'm sure you guys have seen his name pop up. He's been here for quite a while now, but basically he has a company that he started, I think a couple of months ago, but he's taken in all of the lessons that he's learned from Lunch with Norm, the guest that he's had on, and he's going to go through and be our little case study and to show like what the setup is, the hurdles that he's encountered, any milestones. So that's all going to be happening, and we're going to be following him along on the course of his career for this company. So it's going to be really interesting, and we're going to get to hear how he's used the different techniques that we've had.
Fantastic. All right. The other thing is, if you're interested in our newsletter, you can either go to lunchwithnorm.com or normferrar.com and just sign up. It's full of content. There's every Monday, newsletter is sent out, and it doesn't suck. It's actually quite good, I think. Anyways, all right. So join us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at noon Eastern Standard Time. And thank you for watching. Thank you for being part of the community, and enjoy the rest of your day. Lunch with Norm.